And we're back. Hour two, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Battle joining us now, as he does on Wednesdays. Richard, how are you, sir?
John, I'm doing great, and I concur with you on the people watching and the people that are wearing masks demographics.
I'm not trying to be critical, just total observation. But I do believe there is some psyche involved in all of this, which, you know, on a larger level, Richard, goes into some of the things that you and I talk about on a weekly basis, and frankly, things that I think as a country we need to now, I'm just going to say it, overcome, because the reality is we do not want to be a nation whereby when somebody just says something, we do it. We need to go back to the questioning everything.
Yes, absolutely.
You grew up in the same era I did. I mean, those were the bumper stickers of the day, you know, question everything, question authority. Now, back then it was taken in a very, you know, negative connotation, and frankly, they didn't quite mean what you and I are talking about right now, but we've really had a huge shift, and we're going to talk about graduation, a huge shift from what it was back then to what it is today in regards to that.
Well, and that's correct, and that's part of the reason that I put this piece together was because of something I experienced, which is very similar to that subject.
All right.
Weeks ago.
Let's hear it.
So I've gone to graduations and heard the speeches that are supposed to inspire and motivate people just like you and most people have, and I want to talk about that specific situation, but the whole approach of today is, let's visualize that we're here today like we just graduated from school or for work, because tomorrow is a new day post-graduation from today. And that's kind of the approach. So it applies to everyone, whether they just graduated or graduated many years ago. But I went and saw a speech a few weeks ago, and the speaker basically was telling the students it was okay to be mediocre. And I was aghast at it.
Oh, my word. At a graduation announcement? Or, I mean, a graduation commencement, Richard? Really?
Yes. And he didn't use the word mediocre. He used the word good. But he was basically implying that it was okay not to succeed. It was okay not to make the effort to succeed. It was okay just to go through life and be happy without succeeding. And there was no inspiration to try to push the envelope and to be the best you could be and see if where your dreams could take you, which I think is important for everyone in life. We need to have that hope that there's something better for us tomorrow than today. And that's part of the thing that we're going through in the country right now. There's a lot of lost hope that we'll get that back like we've had before. And so that's why this piece, we're graduating from the day to tomorrow. What can we do to be better and achieve more and be happier than we are today?
Do you feel like, and again, not in my notes, but just as you were saying that a moment ago, I got to thinking, do you think it's because somehow we have dogged and or eliminated American exceptionalism out of our vocabulary, especially among students?
Well, absolutely, and I'll give you an example from a few years ago. When you look on television or in a movie, Europe looks just like we do generally.
Right.
And you think they're living the same life we are, but when you go there, you realize they're not.
Right.
I went into a restaurant, and I can't remember if I mentioned this before, and horrible service. At the end of the meal, I got the check for my group, and it had the subtotal, a line drawn through the tip, and the total was the same as the subtotal. And I asked the waitress, don't you want a tip? And she said, no. And I said, why? And she goes, well, after taxes, I only get to keep 40 cents on the dollar. And so they have already progressed past us to demotivate people to excel and try to put the extra effort out. And that goes along with the American exceptionalism, individual liberty and happiness.
I agree. Just got a text message in from my old co-host, Dan Muir, and he said, who gave the speech, Al Bundy?
Well, it could have been Al Bundy.
That's actually pretty funny. So, I mean, we laugh, but actually, Richard, we should be crying, because if this is what we're leaving the next generation, shame on us.
Well, exactly, and I've recognized for years that one of our issues is that so many people work for fixed income. No matter how hard they work, whether it's a salary or hourly, there's no variable income for excellent production. And I think, and I had the same experience when I was young, getting that first commission check or that first bonus, that sets people afire for want to excel and to be rewarded for exceptional production.
Right. Again, I guess because of the way I was raised, even the industry that I was in, the automotive industry, and for those of you listening that maybe don't realize this, in the automotive industry, and I know not every shop out there, every dealership pays the same way, but when I was a kid, the majority did, and it's even still prevalent in today's world. And we have what we call, Richard, in the automotive industry, a flat rate pay, and that's exactly what it's called. And flat rate pay means, Richard, that whatever I can do in a day, whatever the billable hours are, I get paid for the billable hours, not the actual time I've worked. In other words, if I've got ways where I can beat the clock, better tooling, better training, and more knowledge, you know, the ability to just go faster than what the clock says I should be able to do it in, whatever I can do to beat the clock, I'm rewarded for that in my pay, because I might be able to work a 50, 45, 50-hour week, but get paid for 70 or 80 hours in that week if I'm a really, really good, solid automotive technician. I learned that at a very early age, and I guess to this day, I still look at that as being one of the best performance-based pay systems there is on the planet, because it rewards you for doing more.
Absolutely, and people who earn variable income are definitely pro-free enterprise.
Yep. And it's just natural. And I'm like you. I'm afraid that we've gotten to this mediocre stage where, you know, it always bothers me. And I know we're off topic a little bit, but it goes back to what you're talking about, Richard. But it always bothers me when you see all of these. This is the cost of living in a particular city. And I always have to ask, okay, how are they figuring that? What is the cost of living? Is it based upon a 35-hour work week, a 40-hour work week? Are you working two jobs? I mean, in other words, how are those numbers being equated? Because when I was young, Richard, if it meant you needed two jobs to meet, you know, to make ends meet, you worked two jobs. That's just all there was to it. We've lost that. We think today that you've got to work 35 hours or 40 hours a week to be able to meet the needs of everything going on around you, when the reality is nothing could be farther from the truth.
Well, you are exactly correct, and that's part of the reason for today's topic and the six words that I think are crucial for everyone's success tomorrow, better than today, and better the day after tomorrow than tomorrow.
All right. You know what? Let's get into it. I know you've got a lot more here that I haven't. I mean, we've gotten off track. But good. By the way, great topic. And it's a great topic because we've got kids literally that are graduating high school that, to your point, are hearing, you know, commencement speeches that frankly aren't accurate. It's not the way the world works. So we need to set the record straight on what they need to do and how they can actually accomplish things in life. So the floor is yours. Go for it, Richard.
Well, absolutely. And there's only six words to remember. And this is a phrase I've used for 16 years, and I've got this phrase trademarked, but it's aim high, work hard, and never quit.
There you go.
And so when we look at aim high, that means giving our best effort, we just talked about. And Benjamin Disraeli, I have two British examples in today's pitch. Benjamin Disraeli was a prime minister in Britain twice, but he had to overcome lost elections. People didn't like him. He failed many, many times. And he said the secret of success is for man to be ready when his opportunity comes. And so often today we see young kids that don't want to work at McDonald's or do entry-level work. Well, those are the jobs that teach you the skills that will help accelerate your success later. Those are the jobs, along with extra study beyond school, that will help you learn and be a better candidate for a promotion than other people. Just showing up for 6 months does not mean you get a raise or promotion. Preparation is what Disraeli was saying, prepares you for that next opportunity.
Which goes into actually to your aim high, but then work hard as well. Yeah, we need to aim high, but we also need to work hard, much to what you just said a moment ago, because without the hard work, nobody notices.
Well, that's exactly true, because there have been all kinds of ambitious people who talked a good game, but they did not put the hard work in. And I've had people work for me who they thought they were too big to do certain small jobs, and the best leaders have done the smallest jobs. and some of the worst things that I've ever had to do work-wise as a young person gave me the best lessons that have helped me the rest of my life. So there's no work that's legal. It is today, the easier it will be tomorrow, and the easier it is today, the harder it will be on you tomorrow.
The last one, too, which also I love, was the way I was raised as well, Richard, and it's the never quit, never give up. I was raised by a father where quitting just was never an option. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care, you know what the outcome's going to be. Even if you know the outcome's not going to be good, there's still just it's a never quit. You're not going to give up. Period.
Well, that is so true. And my greatest regret in life was an instance where I quit too soon. And I look back on that and regret it, and regret. That pain of regret is so much deeper and longer lasting than the pain of any failure that I've ever had.
Wow.
And Winston Churchill is the example that I love, and there's a great quote from him. But when he assumed office in May of 1940 as prime minister, even his own party wanted to negotiate a surrender with Germany.
That's right.
And he figured out that even if they fought and lost, they would not suffer any more than if they just surrendered. So why not fight and take the chance on winning? And Churchill, much like George Washington did in the Revolutionary War, Churchill single-handedly, his defiance of quitting and his persistence galvanized the British people and gave them the will to go on. And then we came in and the Allies won.
Yeah.
Whereas if he would have done what he was asked, it wouldn't. And the year after 1940, he spoke and gave his famous quote. He said, never give in, never give in, never, 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 never. And nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Great point.
And I think that's so critical because we never know when we hang on how close success is. And if you had a situation where you hung on and succeeded when you thought you wanted to quit, it helps reinforce that because you realize success may be in that next day.
It's awesome. Richard, as always, it's a joy talking to you. RichardBattle.com, of course, is where you can go. Find him on our website and all the different conversations Richard and I have had really now for many, many months now. You can find all those on the website as well at RushToReason.com. Richard, it's a joy having you. I appreciate it very much, sir.
It's my pleasure, and God bless America and all the graduates to tomorrow.
Amen. God bless you too, Richard. We appreciate it very much. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at RushToReason.com or drive-radio.com.